This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
As the Japanese try and fix Fukushima, there are some big decisions to be made.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There is a push for the Japanese government to take temporary ownership of that badly damaged nuclear power plant. And because of the loss of the power plant, the government wants to look at turning off the power to factories for short periods of time. The BBC's Mark Worthington is with us from Tokyo this morning. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Steve.
How does the big industry feel about the possibility of having to limit power usage?
Well, interestingly, it's big business itself that's really floated this idea in the very first instance. Right now, many are having to deal with rolling blackouts. They do get advance warning, but it's quite unpredictable, and they're losing power for up to 3 hours at a time, and they're finding that very difficult to cope with.
Do we have any idea if a plan like this would work and how it would affect production?
The idea would be to limit power within a peak period, and it would obviously mean slowing production during that time. But what large factories would tell you would be that would be preferable to a total outage, which means they have to shut down the entire operation.
We're talking about Japan taking the extraordinary step of nationalizing TEPCO, the Tokyo Electric Power Company, the owner of that nuclear plant at Fukushima. How would that work?
Well, what it would mean would be essentially a rescue by the government of a company who's seen its share price plummet since the disaster. What everyone is saying here, all the authorities, are that the company needs to be able to focus on dealing with the incident in Fukushima, not worrying about its own future. And that would be the idea behind it, to take hold of the company as a temporary measure to help it through this crisis.
And it would be just temporary, right?
That's all we're hearing at the moment, and something that the government doesn't want to dwell on when there's such a pressing crisis.
All right. The BBC's Mark Worthington in Tokyo. Mark, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
Today in this country, FDIC regulators will be looking at just how prepared banks are for their possible demise. Those banks deemed key to the nation's financial system could soon be required to write up what amounts to a living will, a way for the government to disassemble a big failed firm in an orderly way. Here's Marketplace senior business correspondent Bob Moon.
Turning government regulators into banking undertakers isn't really all that far from the pitch in those heart-tugging funeral planning commercials. If our bank dies, can we cope?
We can help you hold things together, take care of the million things that must be done, and bring chaos into focus so you can cope.
The idea is regulators will be able to come in and break the company up in such a way as to minimize market disruption.
Bert Ely is a banking industry consultant. He says Congress has mandated that key financial institutions prove they can fail without the need for a bailout. If they can't, FDIC Chief Sheila Bair told the Reuters News Service,
then they should be downsized now. There is no reason in the world why they should get some kind of special treatment and backstop that other businesses in this country don't get.
Bert Ely is skeptical, though.
Any company directed to come up with a living will come up with something that at least on paper will seem plausible. You know, whether or not it's any good at a time of a crisis is another story.
Critics worry the plan won't cover what happens if big banks face collapse simultaneously. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
All right, let's do the numbers. European stocks are slightly lower right now. Asian shares were off a bit too. Home builder Lennar says it swung to a profit in the last quarter. We're going to get the Case-Shiller Home Price Index in a little over an hour. Oil prices fell slightly today to under $104 a barrel. Yesterday, the Dow lost 22 points to close at 12,197.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. By Mini, with 37 miles per gallon and 3 years or 36,000 miles of boot-to-bonnet maintenance. MiniUSA.com/info. and by Thomson Reuters, committed to empowering professionals of the world with the knowledge needed to do what they do best, the Knowledge Effect.
Airlines have cut back short-haul routes by almost 25% in the past 5 years. Alex Goldmark reports now from station WNYC in New York. It's the business traveler who's feeling the pinch.
Neil Shah used to fly a lot, 8 to 15 times a month as a management consultant. But he started to feel like it wasn't the best use of his time.
Getting to the airport, waiting in the security lines, you know, there was a potential for delay.
Shaving off 30 minutes may not matter much on a trip to Berlin, but it sure matters Boston to New York.
If all things were equal, my preference would be to fly. However, all of these other things have accumulated that make other means of travel just more convenient.
Scott Gibson is the head of ICF Skyworks, an airline advisory firm.
There are just fewer people flying in these short-haul markets.
Gibson gives the example of Kansas City to St. Louis. That route had as many as 30 flights a day in the late 90s. Now there are 9. A big part of the trend is fuel.
A lot of the fuel burn is in takeoff and landing. The airplane is really efficient when it's up high in the air. And so as fuel costs have gone up, it actually impacts short-haul flights as a percent of the airfare more than it impacts long-haul flying.
Plus, airports are charging carriers more per passenger. So one response has been to use bigger planes but fewer flights.
We actually reduced the number of flights, but we gained more seats.
John Happ is the president of the Texas Airports Council and a pilot. At his small Easterwood Field in College Station, there are about 10 flights a day, mostly to Dallas and Houston.
I see more and more corporate aircraft coming through than what we used to have.
That's because businessmen don't want to waste time waiting for the next flight, he says. And even Happ admits, the air schedules weren't convenient the last time he had a meeting in Dallas.
You know, if I had flown into Dallas, I'd have been there hours before my meeting, and I don't, you know, that time is valuable to me.
So the pilot drove 3 hours each way. In New York, I'm Alex Goldmark for Marketplace.
And finally, the British government is taking bids for one of its decommissioned aircraft carriers. A way to make a little money in these budget-slashing days. Bidders on the ship are being asked to announce what they would do with it upon purchase. Personally, I can think of a few ways to use an old aircraft carrier. Added parking for my annual holiday throwdown in the Hamptons? No? It could be a giant stage for a big Hall & Oates reunion concert at Cleveland's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, right? Over there in Lake Erie? No. What would you do with an aircraft carrier? Share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. I'm on Twitter, by the way, at Radio Chio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
I'm sure you grew up being told to resist peer pressure, but it's not always a bad thing yet.
They try and get people to change their behavior, not by appealing to fear, but by giving them a new peer group to identify with.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Call it social pressure instead. See if that's better. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.